I'd be singing that song. And just before that one came on, I was over here worshiping the Lord off a little bit of Mercy Me, songs like All of Creation, and especially Here I Am to Worship. You know, part of that song says, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sins upon that cross. And I am just so grateful, and I know you are too. So let us begin with a moment of prayer. Awesome, wonderful, and loving Father, you know us, everyone. When you asked Adam where he was, you already knew. And so this morning we ask that like you showed Adam, you show us. By showing us where we are right now in your word, we can see where we need to go and what we need to do. We ask this in your precious son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're going to continue on in our teaching in the book of Galatians, and we're on chapter 3. I want to say I hope that you spent some time last week reflecting upon whether you're pressuring someone or whether someone is pressuring you to add to God's word. Specifically, I have suggested that we need to look at salvation straight up without adding anything. If indeed you or anyone in your life is saying that a person is not saved for any other reason than a lack of faith and confession of Jesus as Lord, then you or they are behaving like these Judaizers that are binding, that were binding people back in the day. So we don't want to guilt trip anyone to follow the law. It's just not right. So if you found anything at all like that, remember it's time to ask God to help you get that out of your life. Also, last week I introduced the would you rather question of would you rather want someone telling you where to live or where to work. And, of course, like with all these questions, I don't want anyone telling me what to do either. But I think if I was going to give attention to advice, it would more likely be on what I do for a living than where I live. My reasoning is that where I live is more of a want than a need. And on the other hand, my work has a lot more moving parts to, you know, there's some blind spots there. So I think work is more tied to God's purpose for my life than where I live. Oh, if you think about how Jesus described where a person lives, it was rather trivial. It's almost as God is saying, I got this. He's made the provision. And he gives directions like telling people to leave their own hometown for the promised land. So if done right, my work and your work should coincide with a calling. So that's my two cents worth. But I don't know. We really don't like people telling us what to do. And I'm just trying to figure out why we're so selective with that. Like when Adam and Eve, you know, why you want that devil, that snake telling you what to do. So we just got to get it right. You know, godly advice that's seeped in the word. Yes, we should seek that and we should take it. But we've got to be discerning and know the voice of God so that we take the right advice. So to kick off this week's question, would you rather work with a team of foolish people or would you rather work with a team of ignorant people? Think about how you define foolish versus ignorant. I will say to me, foolish suggests a deliberateness or a stubbornness. While the person has some wisdom to draw upon, they seem to choose to ignore it. Conversely, I think an ignorant person may just be unaware. So what's your choice? I know. You don't want to work with ignorant or foolish people. You don't want them around you. But guess what? They are there. So choose your poison. And don't forget to drop me a line and let me know what you think so I can bring some of it up next week. Don't worry. I won't mention any names. Okay, so let's start reading Galatians chapter 3. You'll notice that the first 14 verses of chapter 3 are under the subheading of the law and faith in Christ. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You receive the Spirit because you believe the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? after starting your new lives in the spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures look forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, "All nations would be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse, for the scriptures say, "Cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law." So it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. For the scriptures say, "It is through faith that a righteous person has life." This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says, "It is through obeying the law that a person has life." But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So notice in these scriptures, Paul is using reason and logic to try and get through to the Galatian church. He is making perfect sense to me, and hopefully it makes sense to you as well. Doesn't it make you crazy when you try and break something down and reason with another person and they refuse to even open up enough to follow you? I think this approach of a letter, indeed all of these letters and notes that God has written in the form of scripture, can help. I think when we are communicating verbally, so much is going on inside of our heads. The other person is talking, but we're thinking about what we want to say. That is, if we can get a word in edgewise. I sometimes feel so sorry for some of my friends, like Deaconess Kathy, who have to endure my long soliloquies, where by the time they can get a word in, they've forgotten what they wanted to say. Another hindrance to breaking through when we are using the spoken word are the issues we often have with the speaker. Just as Jesus explained in Mark 6:4 about the problem a prophet has with being understood in their hometown, we too have biases about who is speaking to us. Sometimes people just won't receive a word because they have a problem with who is speaking it. It's a shame, though. It's like that old saying of cutting your nose off to spite your face. I'm so glad that God made clear that while Paul and others wrote down the words of the Bible, all of it, every word is from him and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so we can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so here in these first few verses, we've got some teaching for sure, but there's also some rebuking and correcting going on. Let's start with the rebuking, with the hope of the correcting approach that Paul takes right up front in these scriptures. So Paul calls them foolish Galatians. In verse 1, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Now, no one likes to be called a fool, right? But what is a fool? The dictionary defines the word fool as a person who acts unwisely or imprudently, a silly person. Wow, now this concept is important to our quest and study because we always want the word to have an impact on our lives. We want to be doers of the word. And remember, I always want teaching I'm involved in to identify how we can put the word into practice. So by calling them foolish Galatians, Paul is declaring right up front that it is their behavior that is a problem. Also recall earlier teachings where I brought up the point about that your beliefs affect your attitude, and your attitude affects your behavior. Well, I'm thinking that the way Paul is describing what has happened up to this point in chapters 2 and 3, which is to lay the groundwork for this rebuking, is that the Galatians' belief system was adversely impacted by the Judaizers and even Peter's hypocrisy, which affected their attitude towards the law and hence their behavior. Saw something, now he's saying something, and his letter is doing something about it. Remember earlier when I posed the would you rather question, I said to me, foolish suggests a deliberateness that while a person has some wisdom to draw upon, they seem to ignore it. Conversely, an ignorant person may just be unaware. This is how I think Paul is addressing them. They need to put their wisdom into practice, like how we are told to do in Matthew 10 and Luke 16. Jesus instructed us to use our minds. In those chapters, he told us to be as wise as serpents, and by behaving shrewdly, we can demonstrate that we can be entrusted with more. Listen, God is not going to force his will on us and make us go after the word and learn. We have to get into this word and accept the wisdom from teaching that is packed into the scriptures. So the rebuking part is how Paul gets their attention. It's like he starts speaking loudly by saying, you don't want to continue being foolish, right? So let's get into some serious teaching. This is where the logic and reasoning comes in. It's like he's saying, let's look at the law, your human effort and faith in Jesus to see what really makes sense. When I was reading over the beginning of Galatians chapter 3, I started to think about doors that a person can enter. Let's say there are two doors. Behind door one, which we will call the law, is a list of chores. I can step through that door with no help and get busy trying with all of my might to prove to God that I am a good person. I can give to the poor. I can do tons of volunteer work. I can even go beyond doing what Jesus told the rich young ruler described in Mark 10 and sell all of my valuables and give all of the money to the poor. Is that good enough to get me into heaven? Not even close. Remember, there was more to the passage than the instruction to sell everything to give to the poor. Jesus instructed that after doing that, the rich young ruler was to follow him. So this works mentality, this doing stuff according to the law, is foolhardy. As a matter of fact, if I decide to step through the door of the law, not only am I not adding to my life, verse 10 says, I am cursed. Why? Because you're trying to pass a test that you have already failed. If you have ever sinned, you are condemned by the law, period. So even if it were possible, and it's not, you can't win at the law game. Perhaps some of you are thinking that it is unfair that a person could do so much good and it not be enough, right? Well, I think it would be unfair if God had not provided a wide-open, free way out, which he has. Okay, let's take a look at the other door in my illustration. Let's say what lies beyond door number two is the faith in Christ door. When I step through that door, I am immediately and forever made right with God through Christ. There is no list of chores for me to try to work on. Rather, I receive a gift of the Holy Spirit forever inside of me, acting as coach and counselor in all things related to God. Because of this choice, while I am not perfect, the one who lives in me is perfect. Through me, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together as one to help me achieve that which they made me in their image to do. Ooh, I just get so excited about that door. Look, I'm not trying to be funny, but this seems like a no-brainer. Behind the law door is a curse. Any one sin ever committed dooms the person who refuses to accept salvation through faith in Jesus. Conversely, whoever accepts Christ is made right with God, and his or her past, present, and future sins are forgiven. Paul rightly declares anyone who chooses death over life as a fool. Pastor O has been preaching about the new life. In verse 3, the question is posed, how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You just can't do it. As doers of the word, you have to recognize the impossible, lest you spend your whole life attempting to achieve something that you simply cannot do on your own. I was watching Joyce Meyer earlier this week, and she shared some of the humbling beginnings of her ministry. And now speaking before thousands, she pointed out how much bigger are the audiences. She reasoned that many probably thought that since she's been teaching for decades that it is far more easier to speak, but she explained that she dare not try anything, including speaking, no matter the audience size, without the help of and blessing of God through Christ Jesus. It really blessed me because I tend to get worked up with all that I put on my plate. But then I remember I consulted God first, and he always comes through. I don't know how God does it, because when I look back, it seems like it was impossible to accomplish that which was accomplished. But that's the key for me. I believe, really believe, not just believe, but know from experience that God's burden is and that his yoke is easy. Indeed, with God's blessings, no sorrow is added. That is always a good litmus test for me. How effortless things seem, no matter how big the mountain may look in front of me. You've heard that phrase, sweatless victory, and that's how it feels when I'm doing things that I know the Lord has asked me to do, and he's right there with me. And I have more and more faith because he did it before, and I know he'll do it again. Okay, final point on the beginning of chapter 3. You get to choose a curse or blessings. It's just that simple. As for me, I'm going for faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing added, nothing taken away. Let's keep reading starting at verse 15 with the subheading of the law and God's promise. Dear brothers and sisters, here's an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or amend an irrevocable agreement, so it is in this case. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child, and notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child, and that, of course, means Christ. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Now, a mediator is helpful if more than one party must reach an agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. So we are right back to the crux of Paul's purpose of illustrating what true freedom is and how it is achieved. The opposite of freedom is being bound in some manner, and every one of us are prisoners of sin. The only one found to have lived without sin is Jesus Christ. He was the lamb without spot or wrinkle, and the only one who could be sacrificed to pay the debt of sin. It's funny, we say that people should not be let off the hook for their crimes against humanity. We say that when people commit offenses, they should pay the debt that they owe society. That's man's law. But when it comes to God, unbelievers just go on and do what they do right in front of God's face and feel like it's no big deal, that no debt need be paid. And every one of us in this class, including me at one time, was an unbeliever. Do you think it fair that we got away with so much sin before accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Knowing that the act on the cross canceled the debt and wiped away the death sentence that we had coming, actually, I don't think it's fair that Jesus had to die for my sins, but I am so glad that he did. He has made a way out of no way just for me and you. He has freed us. Paul makes all of this so clear by, again, reasoning with us. God has made certain promises which are conditional. He even uses the word contract, which we all relate to in this modern day. Contracts are agreements. Both parties make promises, which are based on conditions that need to be met by each party. Usually one party is agreeing to give up something for something in return. If, for example, you buy a house and enter into a contract for financing, both parties make promises. The lender agrees and promises to pay for your house up front. In return, you agree and promise to pay them more money than they lent, which we call interest. And you agree to do so over the course of several years. So we see also the contract God has made with believers who put their faith in the finished work of Christ. Unlike worldly contracts, the debt portion of the contract has already been fulfilled. Christ has paid the debt. Like worldly contracts, there are agreements and promises. But here's the thing. We get to enter into an awesome agreement with God where it's virtually one-sided. The condition of the agreement is that we get all of the benefits without having to make any payments. We do have to agree to enter into this covenant as God does not force it upon us. But beyond that, all of the liability has been taken on by God himself. He backs his promise. Once again, I ask the question, do you want what's behind door number one of the law, which is an inferior contract in this dispensation of grace? Imagine the law is a house built over 2,000 years ago, which in its day was the best thing in town. But now in the year 2021, it is incapable of providing any form of shelter whatsoever. It cannot compete with all the wondrous modern conveniences of today in the form of wants or needs. And more importantly, if you and try and enter this cursed and condemned house, you will go crashing through into hell itself. There is just no support there, and in your human might, you cannot hang on. Then there's door number two, where a mansion awaits. Jesus said that in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And while you're in the waiting room of heaven, which we call this life, God is promising you blessings of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Again, how could you not make the right choice if you listen to the word of God, including here in Galatians 3? Choose and receive God's promise of freedom the only way, which is by believing in Jesus Christ. Before finishing up this chapter, I just want to pause and ask you to think about if you have really done this. I want to believe that everyone listening has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but I recognize this may not be the case. If that's you, please use reason. A case has been laid out in Galatians that you cannot work yourself into God's good graces or into heaven. You can only accept that he will give this to you as a gift. The largest part of the gift is the debt that Jesus paid on the cross. God is just requiring that you accept and have faith that Jesus did this for you. Take a moment to tell him that you get it, that you will no longer ignore such great of a salvation. All right, then. Welcome to the family and watch what God will do through you as he deposited you with the Holy Spirit from the very instant that you entered into disagreement with him. Okay, let's finish out the chapter under the heading of God's Children Through Faith. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have been put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Amen. Woo. In my quest to understand and get at the heart of God's word, I sometimes try and think about the word in a more relatable way. I truly embrace Jesus' teaching when he spoke in parables. I think it's so cool that he connected in the way that his disciples and those hearing could understand. He often used farming-type analogies, which even in our present day, we can connect because there's still farming going and probably will be forever if we want food. So as I start meditating on the words Paul selected and wrapping up this chapter by describing the time before Christ as one where people were under guard and in, quote-unquote, protective custody. This sounds kind of good, and it sounds kind of restrictive at the same time. People were protected, but both the words guard and custody certainly do not sound like freedom. And in truth, there were limits before faith in Christ entered the picture. The Jews were not free to just boldly enter into the Holy of Holies like we are today. God knows I probably would have been struck down early given the rituals tied to the law. I can barely prep a meal right for stovetop cooking, let alone a sacrifice to be offered unto God. We could really spend some time on this, but I'm so glad that God placed me into this period of time when he did. Sure, we've got lots of challenges, especially now in this age of COVID, but I see being born in this dispensation of grace as an upgrade. So as I was saying, finding some way to relate what was being said to current times is helpful to me. So in looking at how Paul described the law as a temporary situation designed to protect but with restriction, I thought of situations involving upgrades. You know, like when you fly, if you pay more, you can get an upgrade to first class. The only times I've flown in first class was when I either earned enough points to qualify or when the airline on their own seated me up there. I have to admit, though, during the times that they upgraded me, they had their own motive. Still, regardless of how I got there, I find that there's so much more liberty in first class than in the back of the plane. Firstly, the seats are so much bigger in first class. There's leg room. You can move around more freely. Secondly, people are attending to you in first class. Flight attendants are more likely to ask you what you have need of before you even think about it, like a blanket or a pillow. Thirdly, you have access to an abundance of food and drink without paying 1 cent. Fourthly, you're on the right side of that curtain that separates you from the back. It's like a red line delineating that the good stuff is on this side. The word tells us about a curtain also in Matthew chapter 27. It says that when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now we have first class access to God our Father through the price Jesus paid on the cross. It was a finished work the minute that he died. The word says that the curtain was torn then, even before his body was removed from the cross. And so we got an immediate upgrade from the restricted and cramped area that was the law to all the benefits and privileges that come with faith through Jesus Christ. We are free from the law, so we do not have to eat from the restricted list like crackers. We can eat meat, just like in first class where you can just strut onto the plane whenever you want and not have to wait until your row is called. Those who put their faith and Jesus do not have to be circumcised or follow any order of going through priests for access. We have direct access to the Father through Jesus. Come on, y'all. We had a best contract ever. God has upgraded us in a new covenant just because he loves us. He has accepted all of the liability by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And all we have to do is say yes and mean it when declaring a belief that Jesus died for our sins and accept the salvation that comes along with it. Why in the world would anyone choose the law by saying that he or she wants to work off their charges when it is impossible to do so and when the ultimate judge has already provided a way of escape with Jesus taking the rap? We must never become prideful. But let me warn you, it's easy to fall into that trap than you think. So for this week's homework, I want you to engage in an activity that I think can help you protect yourself. I believe that entitlement and gratitude cannot share the same space. If, for example, a person believes that they're entitled to heaven because they're so good, like say, for example, they kept the law. How many times have you heard unbelievers say that they think when they die, they will go to heaven because they've never killed, they never stolen anything, that they believe their good outweighs their bad? I know you don't think that way, but then again, even as believers, we sometimes try to justify our sin by saying that by the world standards, it's just not that bad. So always being grateful for what Jesus has done can insulate a believer from becoming prideful and thinking in an entitled or ungrateful manner. Are you really thankful for the upgrade? Think about the law this week and think about grace. Try to identify two things you're grateful for. Now meditate on the giver, that's God, that's Jesus, and give thanks throughout the week for the great things that God has done. All right, that's it for today, and we'll get together next week, God willing, and get into chapter 4. Coffee, it's all yours. And sorry for talking all the time so you can't get a word in edgewise.
Yes, you know it. You know you're telling the truth. I just go on and listen, I know. I'm learning a whole lot just listening. Okay. Thank you, Sister Teacher June Rogers. Very good lesson. We can't wait to hear more. Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate you.
All right. God bless.
God bless. All right. We are going to go right into our service, and we're going to have a song. And on the other side of that song, we'll be right back with our scripture prayer.
beside me. Hold my hand in a valley. Lock a knife on me. I don't know where I would be. When it's cold, I know he got that fire.
Man, can't nobody do me like you, Jesus. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Wonderful Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience. Brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Our scripture reading today is Colossians 3, 1 through 15. That is Colossians 3 through 15. And it is titled, Living the New Life. Here reads the Word of God. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie on each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, It doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always, always, always be thankful. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty words. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are listed to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and the preached word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. And Lord, we are just so grateful and thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. You know, the Lord leave you like that sometime. You know, you worry and you be all anxious about a thing, and then all of a sudden it ends up in a situation. Ain't that just like God? You know, I remember when I told the Lord, you know, I'm going to stop worrying. I'm going to start trusting. I'm going to start leaning and relying on you, because every time I tend to worry, amen, the Lord let the due date go past, it's, you know, and then I get a concern and start worrying. And then the Lord fixed the whole thing like it was never broke, even though it was past due. He'd make it somehow go backwards, forwards, some kind of way. Amen. But I'm just learning that where fear enters in, the Lord ought to enter in stronger. Amen. And just tell fear, you can't come here. Don't even come near.
He still had faith in his God to lift his voice and declare,
the throne
he will provide. Come on and declare,
the Lord
he will provide.
Amen. You know, sometimes, we just don't know where our faith is. And I think we forget that Jesus is working on us. And sometimes I think our plans get all crossed up. We got one plan for our life, and he knows what he's working on, who we're going to be forever, and we're working on who we're going to be today. Amen. That's so temporary, and he's working on so eternal. Amen. So we need to get together with him. Amen. Because, see, when it says in that song that, amen, I won't stop believing, that means God going to put you in situations where you might want to stop believing. Amen. But you're going to have to, we have to learn to trust his word and not what we see. We can't, we'll see the wind, we'll see the waves, and we'll hear it blowing. Okay. And it'll be tossing us all around. But we have to remember what he said. If Jesus said, let us go over to the other side, it does not matter what happens in between here and the other side. There could be a Red Sea. There could be a wilderness. There could be Sihon and Og. There could be the Jordan River. There could be Jericho. There could be even a little bitty Ai. But what does it matter? Amen. The Lord uses. The Lord said, I did this so you can see. And God wants us to see. And then when trouble comes, we will know. Amen.
When you promised me, and to begin.
Pastor, as always, thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. We appreciate that. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Finally, this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. And I have everything that makes my healing complete. It doesn't matter how I feel. When his stripes
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for this brand new day. Pray, Father, that ownership, like the song says, of our freedom, of our love, of our security in you. We thank you so much for loving us first and taking the initiative to put everything that we need inside of us to be great and to do your perfect and pleasing will. And we thank you for our elder brother Jesus, who went to the cross in our place. He didn't deserve that, but he chose to step up as a true big brother, as a savior, as a redeemer, to become the propitiation of our sins. And he went to that cross, and he conquered everything that he needed to conquer in the spirit world, in the physical world, even in the social. And then he showed up after the resurrection. During the resurrection, he was visible to people so that people could understand that this is real. This wasn't fake. This wasn't something that was made up. And we thank you, Elder Brother, for being all that for us. And you didn't just stop there. You sat at the right hand of the Father, and you started to intercede for us day and night, no matter what. And we thank you for that. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for God's very presence in us. Right now, we pray that we will allow access, full access, into each and every area of our lives. Holy Spirit, you're already inside of us. For those who are saved, you set up shop. You are a resident. But help us to open each and every chamber of our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to receive you so that you could make us over, so that we won't be conformed to this world, but we would truly be transformed by the renewing of our mind with you as we walk with you and talk with you each and every day, all day. We thank you for watching over us, keeping our brothers and sisters all over the world, and protecting us from us. We blame the devil for a lot of our shortcomings and for what our we believe and what we think and what we do. But truthfully, we are our biggest enemy. So right now we pray that we would set ourselves to the side and fill up on you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, wonderful Father, wonderful big brother, and wonderful counselor and comforter, for being a part of our lives. We pray right now for an awesome preached word that will go forth, that was tailor-made by you for this audience. And we thank you for each and everyone that's listening. Those who wanted to listen but couldn't, Lord, we pray for them and that you would keep them as well. Continue to teach us your word and help us to execute your will. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving and praise. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and have a great day. All right. I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection and back in the saddle is our very own man of God, Minister John Fitzgerald McFaul. Prepare to receive Minister John McFaul as he comes in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
Trade Taylor, you to go.
Nothing feels better than to know you, and nothing's more important than to show you that nothing comes close to what the vibe is. Nothing's more exciting than the time spent with you. No one but you. How you love me when you love me, and you tell me everything is gonna be alright. Yeah, and you mean the world to me. You are my everything, and I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like this forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like I talk it. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you're rocking with this. You know all the ways to speak to me. I like it when it's just us talking, and you don't hold it against me. That you don't really need me for nothing, but I need you for everything. And when I'm honest with you, telling you my issues, you keep it official every time I kick it with you. It's no games, no games, oh, don't change, cause you mean the world to me. You are my everything, and I never, no, never, never ever wanna know what it's like without you. promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like a pocket. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you I can resist. You know all the ways to speak to me. I wanna wake up to you every day. I think I feel like it's forever. As long as we're together, wanna know you each and every way. I promise to be honest when I speak to you. Wanna put you at the top of my list. Wanna walk it like a pocket. Wanna give you everything. Please tell me that you I can resist. You know all the ways to speak to me.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, my Runner for Christ family. I'm John McFaul, coming to you this morning. Heart, just glad to be alive, glad to be on this earth today. Good morning to you guys. Good morning, Pastor O, First Lady Sheila, and the rest of the family. And for those that's tuning in, my name is John McFaul. I am one of the ministers for Run for Christ Ministry, just one of them. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, just prepared. I tell you, this was a hard message to get out there today. The message is a living sacrifice. Let me start off with a verse first. I'm coming from Romans 12:1. It said, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Wow. I know that in the past, there was a lot of sacrifice going on in the Old Testament. Thank God we don't live in that time now. You know, it won't be no more animals on earth, you know, because we was out of order in many cases. But God requires us just to be a living sacrifice. What does that mean, you know, when you hear that word? You know, we hear about sacrifice. We know the sacrifice that Abraham was against when it came to Isaac. We know the sacrifice of Jesus went through. You know, so sacrifice, it meant something to God. You know, it was testing your faith, testing your love, just testing to see if you're going to do what God has asked you to do. I can't say if we were faced with the same challenges that Abraham was faced, that we'd be willing to go through it. But he did prove to God that he loved him. I think in our time, that would be a very hard thing to do because we love our kids and the thought of hurting them would take us to a whole different emotional state. But yet, he was willing to do it for God. Now, let me give you another verse. Let me go over here to Psalms. I think that's Psalm 4, verse 5. It says, offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. So there's somewhere in there that God requires us to make a sacrifice. I know parents are constantly making sacrifices for their kids. You know, if it's to go to college, for example, I know many parents will put a second mortgage out on their home to sacrifice because you don't know if that kid going to complete school and you get stuck with two mortgages instead of one. But it's a sacrifice that parents are willing to make for their kids. You know, if I ask you to, if you had to make a sacrifice, what would it be for? Would it be pleasing the man or pleasing the God or pleasing the both? These are issues that that God requires. Sometimes they require us to make sacrifices, you know, but he wants us to do them from the right reasons, you know. And so I think that's critical that that we understand that. You know, if I ask you in your mind, what does sacrifice mean? Does it mean sacrifice your time? Does it mean to sacrifice your money? Does it mean to sacrifice your skills? It can mean a lot of different things. The question is, are we willing to sacrifice our time for other people, for events? Are we willing to sacrifice, if God has blessed you financially, are you willing to bless somebody else with your money? If God has given you many skills, are you willing to sacrifice your time to help somebody with your skills? Because we know as people we can become very selfish, and we always say time is money. But sometimes you got to leave the money alone and give help where help is needed. You know, God is telling us to go beyond ourselves. Go beyond ourselves. You know, whatever God requires of us, we must do. So the word living sacrifice means give of yourself. God gave his son to us. He sacrificed his son to us. Why can't we do the same for him? You know, that's why I like that verse in Romans 12:1. It said, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. God has shown us mercies on many occasions. Truth be told, we don't need to be on this earth. We didn't cut up and did some crazy things to God yet. He still forgave us. He still kept that window open for us. He's telling us to respect our bodies because our mind and our body is the one thing that will get us in trouble. And he knows that. He says, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, that means if you have an urge to do something you ain't got no business doing, don't do it. Don't think that God is not watching. He's watching us at all times. When I see the word sacrifice, I think of time. I think of money. I think of skills. I just think of all the things that God has placed in my hand. You know, I used to, when I was younger, I used to question, why I have to do this? Now I'm older, and now I know why, because I have to. So I urge the body of Christ to be a living sacrifice, to honor our bodies. You know, this is our spiritual. This is your spiritual act of worship. God said a living sacrifice to him is what? Your spiritual act of worship. Spiritual, that we shall honor our bodies in such a way that it becomes sacrificial. I know that in the past, the sustain for sexual immorality, people will hurt themselves to not engage in such behavior. They were so focused on not disappointing God, and they understood it was an act of worship because God required it. You know, I think about our kids. You know, they're so selfish in many of their ways. How do we teach them to sacrifice for the Lord? Not for themselves, for the Lord. Now, how do you explain that to them in such a way that they understand? Most of us, we're familiar with the Old Testament. I mean, you had to do a sacrifice for almost everything. And that just shows you how important to be a sacrificial offering for the Lord. It may not mean death. It may be something else, like something we outlined earlier. But it is real. You know, we must learn to sacrifice our time. We must learn to sacrifice, you know, our money and our skills. Sometimes you could be in a church and a pastor asks you, you know, make a sacrifice. You give a couple more dollars. I know you got 100 in your pocket. You only gave 20. Make a sacrifice, right? Give us 50. We're going to use it for the kingdom anyway. You know, but sometimes you have to see what people's hearts are. You got to see what people are willing. I know I was one of those individuals when I was younger, when they said make a sacrifice, I didn't really understand what that meant. I say I gave you 20, that should be enough. But the pastor may be asking us for a sacrifice because it may be a need that we don't see. It may be a need in the church that we don't need to know about. But if he's asking us, he's asking us for a reason. Now I'm older, now I understand that. It makes a lot of sense because the need is so great. And the pastor's trying to do all he can do to make sure that we understand what it is to sacrifice our time, that they may ask you to do something. You know, on a day that you go play sports, or a day that it's your movie night, or a day that you hang out with the fellas, or a day that you hang out with your girls, God may be asking for that time. He's saying, no, I need some of that time to do something else. What y'all do, y'all can reschedule. Right? I know you have the funds. I'm asking you not to give 50. I'm asking you to give 100 because that's what's required to help our situation out. You don't need to know who it is. You don't need to know who it's for. You don't even need to know what the problem is. But if the man of God asks you to sacrifice a little bit, no, it's for a reason we don't know. But we can be a living sacrifice for the Lord. This can be our reasonable service to the Lord. And we need to be focused on things like that. And most of us got a lot of skills. You know, it may be somebody's door that flew off during the storm, somebody's roof that came off, you know, their knee patched up, somebody's gate that swung apart. There could be many needs among the body of Christ and those who are not. But God is asking us, use our skills. Stop being selfish. Go to the home. Ask if they need help. You know? And I think that's important. So when I started this, I was like, well, how do you tell people to be a sacrifice? You know, what's required to be a sacrifice? What does God say about being a sacrifice? Why did they do sacrifices in the Old Testament and don't do them in the New? Why? Because Jesus took care of that. In the New, Jesus took care of that. He was the ultimate sacrifice for mankind. There's no more offering, no more sacrifices, no more killing the animals, because our Lord took all that to the cross. It's a done deal. Now, if he can go to the cross for our sins, if God can love him so much that he gave him as a sacrifice for mankind, we can do something. We can sacrifice something, you know. I know that in my condition, I still try to do stuff. You know, today was a rough day getting up. But I know that I wasn't doing this for myself. It's a message to be told, and God said, get up, tell it. You know, tell it. It don't matter how you feel. It's a matter of what I require of you on this day. And when it's all over, I get the praise from it. People have a better understanding of what's required of being a sacrifice. For one, it's protect the body. Protect the body. Male and females, protect the body. That's a reasonable act of worship to the Lord. Why did he say that? Because he knows that as humans, we're tempted to do all kind of crazy things with our bodies. But if we switch that around and understand that our bodies belongs to the Lord, he requires us to sacrifice our bodies and keep our minds straight, you know, and go about, you know, being a sacrifice, being a living sacrifice. We ain't got to die to be a sacrifice. We can be a living sacrifice for the Lord. We can help the body of Christ And those that's not a part of the body, right? We're alive. We can do something. We can sacrifice something for the Lord. What are you going to sacrifice today for the Lord? Tell me what's on your schedule that you're willing to get up, you know, and get up and go help somebody with your times. Tell me somebody that you know in your circle financially that's in need that you can help them. What would you do on this Saturday, right? You know somebody that needs some help, the car not working, you know, they need help inside their home. What are you doing on this day to sacrifice your time that the Lord has given you on this day? The Lord has given us this time. We didn't get his time to ourselves. God gave it to us. I told you when I woke up this morning, I always say, I'm glad to be alive because I don't have to be here, you know. And so if God required what he requires of me, you know, it's in my heart to do. So I urge you to give up your time, share your financial resources, and share your skills. Be that living sacrifice that God requires of us to be on this earth for him. Let's not forget that. It's critical. It's critical. It's critical. Critical. The Bible says in Romans 12:9, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. You know, do what you do. Do it from your heart. Do it from your heart. Do it from your heart. Don't do it because you hear me talking about it. It must be in your heart to share your time, to share your money, and to share your resources. You know, share. The Lord requires, if we belong to him, we should be helping people anyway. You know, that's something that he requires of the body, to reach out to one another. You know, I'm stuck on that word, to be a living sacrifice. That means that we don't have to kill ourselves to help people. You know, we can reach out in love to people. Let our hearts be sincere as we reach out to them. Like Romans 12:9 says, the love must be sincere. If it's not in your heart to do it, then don't do it. But God says that if you belong to him, he requires that we be living sacrifices, because we could be, he's everywhere, but we could be his hands, we could be his ears, and we could be his eyes. We could see what people are going through. You know, we can hear what people are going through. You know, we can understand these things. And so as you start this day, just be mindful of the living sacrifice that God has called us to be. And teach our kids, too. Teach our kids. Our kids need to learn that all their time don't belong to them. On Sunday mornings, they need to be in church. You know, if not, they're going to be playing games or doing other things. They need to know and understand they need to give up some of their time to the Lord also. People say, oh, my kids don't want to go to church. They don't want to wake up in time to go. Wake them up. They're in your house. Get them out that bed. Say, today we're going to church. When I was younger, that wasn't an option. You went to church. You know, you didn't have that much of a privilege that you could stay at home while your parents went to church. No, they need to learn also. They need to understand. They need to see you helping in the soup kitchen. They need to see you giving her your time to help other people. And they need to understand at a very young age, their time don't belong to them. It belongs to the Lord. So what they wanted to do, tell them now they have to sacrifice. Today is the Lord's day. And so if we don't teach them, they won't know. If we won't teach them, they won't understand. You know, just think about all the time it took us to learn to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for the Lord. That means if somebody get in trouble at 1 o'clock in the morning, go help them. Yeah, you know, I know it's late, but still go help them. We still have to be living sacrifices on this earth for the Lord. We need to understand that. And our young people need to understand that. So as they grow older, they'll be willing to give up their time. They'll be willing to share their financial resources. And they'll be willing to share whatever skills they have, even among their own peers. But if we don't teach them, they won't know. If they don't see it, they won't do. That's part of our responsibility to teach that. That's why this lesson was hard, because it teaches you to give of yourself. It teaches you to give up your time. And you need to understand that the Lord will bless it, whatever he asks us to do. But he calls us to reach out, to extend ourselves. We're not comfortable with extending ourselves. You know, we're going to extend ourselves to buy a kid some shoes. We extend ourselves to take a girl out to eat, right? We extend ourselves to do many things that don't please God. We need to please the Lord. We need to know that the living sacrifice he's requiring of us, it has to come from our heart. And that's why I say it's so important. A lot of these young kids are very privileged. They live lifestyles that their parents didn't live. And they need to know, parents need to do a better job of teaching them that. You know, today we're going to cut the grass. This is God time today. You know, God allowed us to have this home. Now we got to take care of it. You know, the window broke in your room. You know, so you're going to have to give up some of your allowance to pay for it. I help you, but you got to pay for it too. And I know how to put the window in, but I'm going to sit here and teach you how to do it today. So if in the future, if it happened again, you'll know what to do. You know that it requires time, money, and skill. And if you don't have those, you're going to have to pay somebody to come do it. And these are things that we can do to help our kids better understand what it means to make be a living sacrifice on this earth. So I thank you guys, and I hope that you take this message to heart today. I hope you be reminded what God requires of his people here. I hope you be reminded how important it is to teach our kids to be a living sacrifice. And I hope you take the time to teach your kid that all big time don't belong to them. They can stop to watching the movie and playing games, right, to go to church, to go to Sunday school. But if you don't teach them, they won't know. If you won't put value on the Lord and his work, the kids won't do it. Now, that's critical to understand. You know, and it's a good feeling, you know, stretching yourself out because it's required. You know, look at the stuff that we go buy. We'll be willing to go on vacation. We save our whole money the whole year to go to Vegas to spend it. We save our whole money for the whole year to go to Disney World. We're sacrificing for those things, you know, and those things have really nothing to do with God. Because God don't need to gamble, because he owns the world, you know. And so, you know, Disney, you know, that's just a money machine. You know, but look what we're willing to sacrifice to for things in our life. You know, God understands that. He sees that. Don't think you don't see it now. He sees it loud and clear, loud and clear. So I had to put that out there. That was something that was on my heart. I struggled all week to find just the right words to say to not offend anybody. But to let people know, you know, take time to say, call your pastor, you know, say hello to him. How you doing, pastor? Pastor is a person. He got things going on in his life, too. He need prayer. We need to pray for our pastor and our first lady, right? Why? Because they're out there, you know, we don't even know how much they sacrifice for us, you know, just getting us on the air. You know, it's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that pastor and his wife have to do. We need to pray for them. We need to keep them in our prayers at all times to stay strong, you know, because they pray for us consistently. And we appreciate them, but we appreciate their commitment to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ also. right? That is a sacrifice in and of itself, because I know it's the work that can make you tired every day, all day, five times a week, you know, preparing, reading, studying. We don't even see the sacrifice they made just to bring forth the truth of God's word. But I tell you right now on the air, Pastor O and First Lady Sheila, Pastor Jonathan Tate, and Janice Tate, and all those who go through it. What's her name at the end of the show? She's always coming in. She give our announcements. But I appreciate her, too, because it takes time to get the announcements together. So people are making, they're making their living sacrifice on the earth for the Lord. So let's stay focused. Let's remember why we're here. Let's remember the reason why we're here. Let's remember why God, what God requires of us while we are here. So I just thank you guys for allowing me the opportunity to come before you. I just want to make sure that you guys get a full picture of what it meant according to the Bible. Not my words. These are not my words. God said he urge us in view. Let me read that verse again. It starts off in Romans 12. The subtitle is Living Sacrifices. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable worship, act of worship to the Lord. So let's not forget that. Let's remember that our God, our bodies are important to the Lord, right? He urges us to do what's right at all times. And so I thank you. I thank you, Crystal. That's her name also. I forgot about Crystal. Reverend Tate. Terrence Tate. I thank you for Kathy being the presider. It's just so much, many things we can be thankful for, because these people have to, we all have to prepare for this. And this is part of our reasonable act of worship to the Lord. We can't wake up and say we have nothing to do. We can at least say, thank you, Lord, for this day. We can't wake up and the Lord and say we have nothing to eat. No, we say, Lord, thank you for this meal on this day. We can, there's many things that we need to be thankful for, but there's many things that we need to understand what it means to sacrifice ourselves for others. So I know this is not a very long message, but it's the message that I wanted to get across on this day. So let me close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this day and this time right now. I thank you for opportunity to deliver your message to your people. I thank you, Father, for allowing us to be the sacrifice, the living sacrifice, not a dead one, a living sacrifice for you, Father, that we may be willing to give of our time, we may be willing to give of our financial resources, and we may be willing to share our skills with those in need, Father. And let us be mindful that we need to teach our kids to do the same thing. You know, they're going to grow up one day, and there's some things they need to know. And it's our job to teach them, so when they get out there, they'll know. They won't be upset with us for not teaching them. So let's take the time out we need. They'll be gone before you know it. Trust me. I look at the age of my kids. I'm like, wow, what happened to the time? Why they grow so fast? You know, how old are they? That means I'm getting old. I'm just amazed at how fast the time goes. You know, I remember they was babies. Now they college bound, they out of college, and you know, they just doing their thing. I'm like, wow. Did I prepare them? Did I do a good job of preparing them? Did I lay a solid foundation for them? Did I put the Lord in their heart? These are a lot of things I think about before the kids go out into this world, because this world is evil. This world is wicked. And we must teach our kids between the two. So as I close now, I don't want to end without saying thank you for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to say thank you to Pastor O and First Lady Sheila for all the work they do. Father, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be alive on this day to say these things, you know, because I didn't have to wake up this morning. It was you woke me up, and I'm thankful for that. People ask me, how you doing? I say, I'm glad to be alive because I know I don't have to be here. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to try to do something for the Lord. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to do something for him. It's not going to be all about me. It has to be about him. So, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. And teach us. Where we weak at, Lord, teach us. Teach us how to do the things you require of us to do on this day. In Jesus' name, the only name above all names, that's the person we need to go to. He have all the answers, not us. I pray, amen.
Amen. Pastor John Mack, we thank you for that awesome word. And it's funny because I was just having a conversation with my son this morning. He is trying, him and his friends are trying to do a million and one things, but yet you still have obligations and things that you have to do. And so I was having a conversation with him this morning about sacrifice and how you have to sacrifice time and things like that to do the things that need to be done. And so I had to look up the word sacrifice, and y'all know how I am about my definition. So the definition of sacrifice, according to Webster's Dictionary, is an act of offering to a deity something precious or destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. And so when you talk about being a living sacrifice, it's our responsibility as Christians, as children of God, to live our lives in a sacrificial position, giving constantly of our time, our talents, and our treasures, as you mentioned, to everything that goes on in life, because we have an obligation. But the ultimate sacrifice was made by Jesus Christ. He knew when he was sent here that he had a job to do, and he knew that he was going to be a sacrifice for us. So we are so thankful for the word that you brought to us today. We were very blessed by what you said. We thank you that even in the midst of you not feeling all that great today, you still came on and you brought us the word. And so we really, truly appreciate it. So after announcements, Pastor will come back on and have some closing words for us. Amen. Amen. So happy Saturday, y'all. It is, what, August the 28th, the last Saturday of this month. Talk about time moving so quickly. But again, we welcome everyone here to our Blog Talk Radio show, our Saturday worship show. Well, it's not a show, actually. It's a service. It's not a performance. It's a service. So it's our Saturday morning worship service. Amen. And we welcome, of course, all of our old and new listeners who are tuning in today. And we're so thankful for everyone who tuned in this morning. We always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour. So again, Pastor John McFall, we thank you so much for bringing us a word today that is so relevant. We are so consumed with our lives, and we think about the sacrifices that we have to make for our families, our spouses, our children, our jobs, and we forget what the ultimate sacrifice was that was made for us to be able to do things not in our own strength, but in the strength of Jesus Christ. So he was the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so we thank you for reminding us of what it is that we needed to do. And so we thank you for always being ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness and your obedience this morning, even though, like I said, you were not feeling well. And we pray that those who listen were blessed in some way by what they heard today. Now, if you wasn't blessed by nothing you heard today, we definitely going to pray for you because service was off the chain. Amen. Amen. So, Pastor John McFall, we do thank you. Running for Christ Ministries, that's the only place that y'all need to know, okay? RFCM is located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple reminders that our Bible reading class is held here on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesdays at 6 p.m., Deacon Charles Mackey, teaching Esther chapters 6 through 10. This coming up Wednesday, the questions have been emailed and they're online for you to access. And for those of you who will be in attendance in our Sunday service, they will be on the back table. So if you're not going to be in attendance but needs to get the question, definitely go to rfcm.org, which is our church website, under Bible classes, and you will find them there. And then also every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching in his series, Training Day. Set yourself a reminder each week. When I tell you he is full, full, full. I don't even know if he gets through an entire topic that he's talking about, you know, day or his hour. But we know he used to come here on, like, sometimes the 4th and the 5th Saturdays, if there were 5 Saturdays. But it was just not enough time. And so he has his own hour on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock. If you're not tuning in, you're most definitely missing out. The information and the teaching is awesome. So set yourself a reminder, again, to tune in on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. And as you all know, we are, thankfully, back to our in-person services. So tomorrow, Sunday, August the 29th, we will be having our Sunday worship service beginning at 10 a.m. We are asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. If you don't have one, it's okay. One will be provided for you so that everyone can remain safe and enjoy our service. We know what's going on with the Delta variant. We know that the numbers are rising. The hospitalizations are rising again. So we have seniors in our congregation that we have to consider, along with children who, you know, are unable to be, you know, vaccinated. So we just appreciate your cooperation during these still trying times of the pandemic. Our praise team, our awesome praise team, of course, will lead us in song worship, and Associate Pastor Jonathan Tate will be bringing us the preached word tomorrow. Amen. So make sure you come in if you're able to come in. If not, we also live stream our Sunday worship service here on Blog Talk Radio at 10 a.m. So if you're unable to come in person, most definitely call in. You'll be able to hear what we are experiencing in person. Amen. So we're so thankful to God for allowing us to return in person and to see one another. Amen. Amen. I know last week when I read about the Fourth Wednesday and First Fruit Living Ministries, Pastor forgot to tell me that Minister Shelley takes a break in August. So there's not another First Fruit Living Ministries preaching, giving out Bibles, prayer, bust out type deal happening until, I believe, September the 22nd. It's the fourth Wednesday in September, but I haven't flipped my calendar yet. But just look on your calendar. See, count four numbers down. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's like the 22nd. Nevertheless, nothing going on this month. We'll resume next month, fourth Wednesday. Amen? Amen. Also, as a reminder, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be on her Blog Talk Radio show, Back to the Family. It's an amazing show, y'all. Pastor had mentioned how there's constant discussion, and everybody has a different viewpoint. But the purpose of this show is to bring back the family and talk about the biblical solutions to bringing the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. Okay, so it's really interesting to hear the different conversations, the different comments. It's dialogue, and it's awesome, awesome dialogue. So if you're not tuning in, please set yourself a reminder for Sunday at 4 p.m. It happens every Sunday at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Go to our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. You can find the call-in number, which is different from the number that we have for our services here. So make sure you're visiting rfcm.org. Under Christian Resources, there is a link to the show as well as the phone number. Set yourself a reminder. Tune in on Sunday at 4 p.m. The dialogue is amazing because everybody has different viewpoints on how people should raise their kids and families and all of this stuff. But the point of the show, again, like I said, is to have the biblical solutions of how to bring back the family. Amen? So if you're not listening, you're missing out, so make sure to tune in. All right, new class announcement. I've been mentioning this the last couple of weeks. It's entitled Get a Grip, Mental Health and Christianity, Keeping It Together When Things Go Wrong. So have you ever felt like you were losing your mind? I think we can all say yes at least one time. Such thoughts are natural given the temptations we face, especially during times of loss. But God has equipped you with supernatural weapons to battle for your grip on sanity. So join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. starting on September 13th as we delve into what the Bible tells us about mental health. Each week, a new topic on the crises people encounter, such as from a loved one or betrayal, will be introduced. Deaconess, excuse me, Dr. June Rogers, who is your teacher, will guide you through how people in the Bible and those living through our times have faced mental challenges. More importantly, you will come to understand how to prevail in these spiritual battles. So let's study together in this interactive course that shows you how to get a grip. Remember, God's promises, according to Isaiah 26:3 and Philippians 4:7, that minds and hearts focusing on and trusting in the Lord can and will enjoy perfect peace. So make sure to set yourself a reminder right now to join us on Monday, September 13th at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio so we can all learn how to get a grip. Amen. Amen. Also, we have a reminder that all of our classes and our services on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, but most of all, they are free. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, click on the Blog Talk Radio tab. You'll have access to all of our classes and our services, again, for free, 24/7, 365. Make sure to download them and share them with others. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to bless us at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member, you want to pay your tithes, or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, rfcm.org is the place to go. You will find all the info that you need there. In addition to this, if you'd like to give a love offering for the preacher who brought the word to us today, that was Pastor John McFall, please visit, again, church website, rfcm.org, under tithes and offerings, and you can give your love offering there. Just make sure, excuse me, to notate who it's for. Amen? Amen. So, I got a question for you. You've heard this question before. Actually, you hear it every Saturday, but I'm asking it again today. Amen? So, why do we pray? Well, number one, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants relationship and not religion. Number two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. God is not unaware of what goes on with us. He is all-knowing, and nothing catches him by surprise. But God is a gentleman, amen? He wants to be invited into our lives as he will not force himself in. He will stand at the door, and he'll knock, and he'll knock, and he'll keep knocking. He will politely knock and wait for you to let him in, amen? Number three, prayer is a dialogue and not a monologue. It is not a one-way conversation. Number four, excuse me, God wants your heart. So when you speak, he wants you to speak from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, good things and bad. Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Lord wants to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives. So give him your heart because he can handle it. And you can never be too far from the forgiveness, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. Number five, lastly, we pray to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, excuse me, verses 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Prayer is our weapon against the attacks of the enemy. And remember, we have been given authority over him. We give the enemy way too much power. The only power he has is the power that we give him, okay? So we have to pray. So when the enemy starts attacking you, use the power of prayer to fight him back. We use the word of God to fight off the enemy, as it's only the word of God that he responds to. I use this analogy, example, all the time. Jesus in the wilderness Satan came at Jesus three separate times, trying to get him to do stuff, even though he knew he was talking to the Son of God. Okay, Jesus was fully God and fully man. And Jesus tapped him up three good separate times with strictly the word of God. Not get behind me, you under my feet, you a liar. He knows all of that. Jesus hit him up three times with the word of God, and the devil went on about his business, okay? So why do we pray? Because we have the power and authority to do so, and because it's essential to being victorious in every area of our life. Amen? So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this. Say, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. We must seek God in all that we do, and he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, excuse me, verses 16 through 18 says, Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And when you pray first, over time you will find yourself praying continually. So we ask your prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated, those who receive bad health reports, got bad and discouraging news from their friends and loved ones. You know, make sure you pray for one another personally. And, of course, pray for yourself. Our children are going to be starting school soon, so please continue to keep them lifted in prayer, as well as our nation, our world, our leaders on every single level, you know, as they continuously face decisions that they have to make that affect everyone. Amen. Pray for those who are missing and exploited, those who are being trafficked and abused. Of course, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world and so, so much more. There's a never-ending list of things to pray for. So special prayers go out to all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries, and praise God, they're still moving. Amen. Slowly but surely, they're getting there. Amen. So Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, excuse me, and Mother Persia, please keep in prayer Deaconess Alicia Cowan, Tyrone Hamilton. Also, Mother Cheryl gets an extra helping of special prayers because of Tyrone. Amen. Again, kids who are getting ready to go back to school, as well as the teachers, you know, and the parents. New school challenges to mask, not to mask, all, you know, crazy type of stuff. I know my son's school, he sent me a message yesterday saying that they're mandating masks. You know what I'm saying? So there's a constant debate about anti-vax, you know, just it's a mess. And when you start breaking things down into categories, it just gets really messy. So keep your eyes on what the will of God is. Amen. Continue to pray for all those in the medical field, again, as they're dealing with the rise in the numbers and having to overextend themselves, you know, to deal with everything that's going on. We know the Delta variants, again, are on the rise. So there's just so much to constantly pray for. So continue to keep everyone lifted in prayer. Amen. We must pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused. You know, the ones who the devil been convinced that God ain't who he says he is and can't do what he said he can do. You know, that's the problem now, is that people don't think that the word of God is true. But remember what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, which you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is your household today, Judea, which is your community today, Samaria, which is outside of your community, to people in places where you wouldn't normally associate or, you know, go around, and to the ends of the earth. And those are people in places that you would never be around or go to. But they need to hear the word of God as well. And it's our job as children of God to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. But we know that, unfortunately, some will end up there in eternal torment. This life is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. And Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So please don't force your way into a place that was not created for you. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I, and of course that I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Amen. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope, Revelation 21, verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All these things are gone away forever. So when you're sad, heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see, hear, and read about all over the world on a daily basis, use these scriptures as well as many others to give you the strength and encouragement that only the Word of God can give you. Amen. So with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers, and we pray God's comfort, love, healing, and peace upon you as always. And as a bereavement announcement, we are sorry to announce the passing of Elder Joseph Stevens' father-in-law, Mr. Nathaniel Elam. We know that's the father of his wife, Cheryl Stevens. So our prayers go out to his wife, daughters, and the entire family. So just make sure to keep them in your thoughts as well as in your prayers. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We know that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and we know that a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody today. Don't make it too hot sunshine because it's already hot outside. But give them a little extra sun, okay? And people need some sunshine. So you be the sunshine in your world today, all right? Because Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it." Amen. So it's the last Saturday of the month of August. So we want to say happy, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating on today, which we already know. We send special love and birthday wishes to our Run for Christ Ministries family who celebrated this month. So Deaconess Danielle Mackey on the 17th, Mother Louisa on the 19th, Robin on the 24th, and Little Tyrone Payne closed us out on the 25th. So happy birthday and much love to each and every one of you. Amen. Amen. So, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. And that's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. So your devotional for today, Growing Faith. And that's by In Touch Ministries / Dr. Charles Stanley. So faith isn't a one-time event with the single purpose of ushering us into salvation. Sadly, some Christians never progress beyond this initial level of faith. But God wants our relationship with him to continually grow. Willingness to trust the Lord affects every area of our life, how we feel, what we do, the way he blesses us. In some ways, it comes down to our focus. When you face difficulties or heartbreak, do you notice the impossibility of the circumstances, or do you see the greatness of our Father? Another way to ask the question is, whose voice are you listening to? Our focus also affects our emotions. Those who choose to believe God experience peace and joy. But when we doubt, it's easier for anxiety and fear to creep in. Then, instead of resting in Christ, we fuss and fume, trying to anticipate all possible outcomes and solve problems in our own strength. We need to realize that our faith is of utmost importance to God, and he takes joy in seeing it grow. He can move heaven and earth to act on our behalf and answer our prayers, and he delights in our choosing to believe that. By trusting him, we will discover new excitement and adventure in life. We'll also see that our Heavenly Father is always faithful. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Okay. Thank you for our announcements. You know,
you're very welcome.
I'm always wondering, what is she going to say there? What is she going to say there? What is the, you know what I mean?
These announcements are getting longer and longer. I'm like, Jesus. I'm supposed to be reading 5 things. Next thing I know, I'll be reading for 25 minutes.
I'm about to set a show up in a minute. I'm about to set
Hello.
A
show. Don't do it.
I had to join Richard. You got to join Richard.
Ooh,
Richard
good
will be
Lord.
On Tuesday. You can go to Thursday.
Ooh, help, Jesus. Help.
But that was awesome,
Lord.
Crystal. Thank you. Thanks for the
You're
sacrifice,
welcome.
Though. Because, see, like John Mack was bringing out in his sermon, I do this stuff, you know, since 09.
Every day.
And it is a sacrifice, you know,
yes,
to be doing the announcements every single week when you feel like it and don't. You know, imagine this, if you had to work 12 hours a day for a whole week. Imagine that. And then you got to come
that.
On here.
I just did that. That so just was my life.
Who, you, what?
Yeah, that just so happened to be like a week ago.
Praise
yes,
the Lord.
7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Yes.
Praise the Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yes.
That takes me back to my Kim Line days.
Oh,
we used to
God.
Go from 7 in the morning till 7, 9 at night, and, you know, that
Jesus.
Kind of stuff. Did that for 3.5 years. That
oh,
was
my
some
God.
Crazy stuff.
I'm not set up. I'm
yeah, I'm
up.
Telling you,
I'm
I slept up. In church, and I can't sleep in a building, so I couldn't even fall asleep in church.
I'm telling
I can't
you,
sleep
I
in
not
a car
set up for that.
If it's moving.
Ooh,
I can't
Jesus.
Sleep in the
exactly.
building if it's not on. You know, I can't even sleep in a bed if I ain't under the cover, so it's got to be a lot of... anyway, I'm telling you, amen. Let's bring that preacher, Pastor Mack, you back. Thank you, Crystal. Love you. Appreciate
You're
you. Tell
welcome.
Me or we
Love
say what's
too.
Up.
I shall. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Mack, I want to thank you for making the sacrifice to get that word together and come on here and preach it without fear, because we don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to be told we ain't doing enough. And that's not an easy word to preach to people who don't like hearing, especially that word, sacrifice. When we hear that, we know that there is something that we have to do that's probably going to be a little bit above what we want to do. And those two verses right there, 1 and 2, but that first one, in view of God's mercies, I implore you or beg you, beseech you to give your lives, your bodies, as a living sacrifice, living. Amen. Not a dead one, not the one that just comes sit in church and don't do nothing else but sit on a pew and chew, but a living one, one that's actually functioning and is a visible, verbal manifestation of Jesus Christ on earth through some human being. Amen. Thank you, preacher. I appreciate it. Give us some words. And
are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, Pastor, I thank you for allowing me to deliver that message. It's not an easy message because it means we got to do something we really don't want to do half the time.
And that's the rub right there. It's easy to say amen, but it's hard to do what we said amen to.
Right.
Because it calls
All
for
right,
a
let me
sacrifice.
Close it out.
Okay, thank you.
Father God, again, we thank you for waking us up on this day. Father, we give thanks to you for the body of Christ. We give thanks to you for the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, the ultimate sacrifice. And Father, I thank you for this opportunity to just remind your people of what you require us to be as a living sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this day. Protect your people as we go throughout this day. Cover us, protect us, keep all harm from us, Father. Cover the man of God and his family, Father, as we go about this day. Keep all harm from us, Father. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, our true Lord and Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Like the way you said it, our true Lord and Savior. We try to make saviors out of every human being we see. But only Jesus is the true Lord and Savior. Thank you, preacher.
Thank you.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in, and we know that you got blessed today, and we pray that you walk in that blessing. Amen. Thank God for all the excellent help that he has provided for all the folks that he has brought alongside my wife and myself to do what's called Running for Christ. And just can't thank all of you enough. And, you know, it's been a really good, calm week for me. It's hard for me to do nothing. And, you know, the Lord has to keep reminding me, look, lay down in the green pasture. Stop getting up. I'll get you up and walk you by the still waters. And then I'm going to put you back in the valley of the shadow of death. So better take this time and enjoy it. But I can only enjoy this because of the awesome people that the Lord has brought alongside, like Deaconess June Rogers, you know, just really working that lesson and taking that message was hard for them to deal with. But she is making it so plain we could see what they were going through and how we are still those people. And how we can apply it to our lives today. Thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for the show enough sacrifice. She was presiding every Saturday and Sunday. Amen. And since we went back in the church, Pastor Tate presides in the church. But I want to thank her for her sacrifice. And not only does she do this, she has a life and she works. And she has her own show, Bring Back the Family. So that's a lot of sacrifice, and doing this right here is not easy. I thought it was back in 09, but I found out it's easy for about 2 hours. After that, amen, it's sacrifice. But that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to sacrifice. And he understands when he asks us to do something, it's going to sacrifice, even if it's studying the Bible at home. Sacrifice. And a lot of us can't do that. Here at Running for Christ Ministries, we pass out questions every week at the church. Jesus, tell me how many people don't even have the fortitude or the wherewithal to even do those questions. And it's only about 10 or 15 of them, but they can't do them. They go from one week to another and just can't make the sacrifice to do it. When Crystal talks about prayer, some of us won't even make the sacrifice to learn how to pray so we can pray. But don't worry about it. Jesus is working on you, and he is not going to quit until you're standing right there with him where he is, because that's the ultimate goal, right? I'm coming back to get you so you can be with me where I am. You're going to be there forever. So while we're here, he's working on us. So he's going to keep on coming at you about sacrifice. Amen. It's not easy, but that's what he's calling for. So think about that as you go through this week and you get ready to tell Jesus no. Some folks can't even sacrifice to get up and go to church, but they will pray to Jesus to get up and go to work every day and give them the strength and keep them safe and all that good stuff. But when Sunday come or Bible class come, Jesus don't hear nothing from them. But see, that ain't none of y'all. But y'all probably know some people who do that. You need to talk to them. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the Lord won't quit. He'll find a way to get them into that place he's taking them. Amen? So we thank God for each of you, and I want to thank God for the scripture reader, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, for Pastor John Pastor John Tate bringing that altar call. Amen. And, of course, the word of God brought by Pastor John McFall talking about a sacrifice. Now, if you're upset about his sermon, I know it's email. I'll give it to you. You can send him a real nasty email. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. God keep you. We'll see y'all when we see you. May the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us in and through our hearts till we meet again. Let the church say amen.
It's time to say goodbye for now. We'll have our second time around. But before you go, there's something I'd like to say.
everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's a moonlight every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. This song is my prayer I give to only you. I know it can't compare to the gift from you. You gave me your love. You gave me your son. Oh, oh, oh. Now I say amen.
I say amen.